I still can't believe you can eat like that and keep that slim figure.
Anya looked down at her plate and shrugged. It was piled high with smoked salmon, eggs, bacon, and boiled potatoes. Back at the table she shared with Tex and Yaja, she had a plate full of fresh fruit slices still waiting.
She is superheroine. She needs to eat super amounts.
Yaja's own plate wasn't exactly empty either. After the rescue, the Gannet crew had taken the three back to Papa Westray Airfield. There, Anya recovered the bag of scrolls, which she had left locked in the airfield safe. Next, they caught a small airplane Tex had chartered to fly up from the Scottish mainland and took it across the North Sea. They were checked into a Copenhagen hotel by midnight. Anya headed back to the table with her main breakfast plate, eyeing it in anticipation. Anya's cell phone took her by surprise. She wondered if Leo had gotten her number. Tex had been on and off his phone all morning, trying to mollify the owner of the ultralight plane they had abandoned on the drilling platform. While Anya felt sorry for Leo, she knew she didn't want to have to be the one to deal with him.
Good morning.
Have I the pleasure of addressing Miss Anya Creed?
Yes.
I represent the principal in a certain negotiation in which you took part, but recently broke off in a most precipitous manner. You ought to be congratulated for the pluck with which you carried that out, by the way. In its way, it was most admirable.
Thank you.
Anya was failing as she tried to keep the emotion out of her voice. She was glad she was sitting down so her knees didn't give out. Tex saw the color drain from her face. He opened his mouth, but she waved him to silence.
We would like to parley, Ms. Creed. Have a tete-a-tete, so to speak. If you're interested, please come alone on the metro to the Rathausplatz. A car will collect you there. Your safety and the safety of your associates in your absence is guaranteed.
Why should I trust you?
Because you have something we want very badly, and we have paid the penalty for underestimating you. Once bitten, twice shy, as they say, my dear.
Anya's fear hadn't quite evaporated. If they're bargaining, she thought, they no longer take for granted that they can swat us however they please. Anya recounted the conversation to Tex and Yaja in an undertone. The restaurant was well peopled with tourists. The story elicited the same reaction from both of them.
Don't go!
Not alone, at least.
Despite, or perhaps because of, the gratitude she felt for Tex going to such lengths and taking such risks to help, she still felt abashed by how much she had needed to depend upon him. There may have even been a touch of resentment in her for his easy, self-assured competence, though she knew it was silly.
It'll be fine. They know that as long as we have what they need, we're in control. And besides, they know what a bad idea it is trying to hold one of us as hostage.
So then, maybe they'll just kill you to frighten us, stupid.
Anya Creed couldn't help but wonder if Yaja had been right as she watched downtown Copenhagen slide by outside the tinted windows of the limousine. The vehicle was a normal-looking, modestly stretched white Mercedes sedan with a dark gray interior. The young blonde man in the gray uniform and cap who had opened the rear passenger door for her was polite, even affable. All the same, she had checked the inside of the door to ensure that the handles worked and that there were no other traps before she let him close it for her. The central square was surrounded by everything from quaint old buildings flanking the city hall to somewhat dingy-looking modern glass and concrete boxes. The car made several turns and approached a giant, gleaming spear that resembled a Gothic cathedral faced in green glass. It had a newness and brashness that seemed almost arrogant. As far as Anya could see, it was the tallest building in the city. The car stopped in front of it, and a valet strode from the covered entryway. As the chauffeur helped Anya out, the valet approached, beaming with white, horsey teeth out of a dark face. He extended a hand that seemed to consist entirely of knuckles. Taking hers, he bent low and kissed it with dry lips.
And you must be the most charming Miss Anya Creed. I am Mr. Thistledown. It is so good of you to join us.
I'm charmed, Mr. Thistledown.
Despite the accent, the man looked Middle Eastern to Anya, possibly Turkish. His dark suit was double-breasted and immaculate. He had cheeks like doorknobs and big dark eyes that sparkled with some secret amusement. Though she guessed he was in his 50s, his hair was dark, thick, and slicked back. The man escorted her into the building. The inside was modern and adorned with mirror-polished red marble, enormous sprays of tropical fronds, and a profusion of gleaming chrome. To one side of the lobby, there was a bank of private express elevators. Thistledown extended an arm, allowing the lady to enter first. The elevator was glass-walled. As it rose past the three-story height of the atrium-like lobby, Anya found herself rising up the side of the building as if she were riding a magic carpet. She checked Thistledown surreptitiously. He did not seem to be scrutinizing her for signs of fear of heights. Nonetheless, she took for granted that the elevator was designed to intimidate anyone who rode in it for the first time. Despite the smiling faces of every EuroPetro employee she had passed, she couldn't help noticing a fairly subtle intimidation around the company's personnel.
"You are a most remarkable woman, Miss Creed. You have made quite an impression on Herr Director Sinnbrenner."
"Who?"
"Adita Sinnbrenner, our Chief Operations Officer."
The man's smile widened. His eyeballs were slightly yellow, suggesting to her somehow that the flawless white teeth were dentures. Anya felt the elevator begin to decelerate, and it swiftly came to a stop. Thistledown gestured outward with a large, hairy hand. For a moment, Anya thought the penthouse was under construction. It seemed to be entirely bare and open to the surrounding sky. Then she realized that, like the elevator, it had full wall windows, except for the section housing the elevator itself. A surprisingly modest desk sat near the far wall to her right. A man with a full head of silver hair stood with his back to Anya, gazing out the windows. The daylight streaming in silhouetted him so completely she could make out no detail of his appearance except the hair and dark suit. He bounced once on his heels and turned.
"Herr Director, please allow me to introduce Miss Anya Creed. Miss Creed?"
"Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Thistledown."
Anya stepped forward onto a dark carpet, realizing she was alone. Her escort had stayed in the elevator. The man strode forward, extending a hand. To Anya's surprise, his face was narrow, handsome, and unlined as a 25-year-old's. His eyebrows were carbon black. Only when he drew near did she realize he was at least 4 inches shorter than she was. Regardless, he had a huge presence. After the briefest of hesitation, Anya took his hand. She felt that if she refused the handshake, she would somehow sacrifice the moral high ground. She did half hope he would try some kind of hand-crushing game. Unfortunately, he didn't play ball. His grip was strong, dry, and exactly metered.
"Believe me when I say it is a very great pleasure to meet you, Miss Creed."
"I have to admit I find that hard to believe, Herr Sinnbrenner."
The man smiled, showing his age around his eyes. The skin was scored deeply at the corners, as if he had spent his life staring into blinding sunlight. He took several steps back and began pacing rapidly.
"How do you find our quarters?"
"Imposing, as I'm sure they're intended to be. But also surprising."
"Oh? How so?"
"Looking around the Copenhagen skyline, it appears pretty evident they have ordinances regulating maximum building height. This building certainly seems to exceed that."
"Miss Creed, we represent the majesty of the European Union, after all. We are exceptional, if I may be candid. Exceptions accordingly are made."
He turned precisely and paced a few steps to her left. He stopped, as if expecting a response. He looked directly at Anya and shook his head once sharply.
"But I waste your time with all this rhetoric. Let me come directly to the point. You have something? We want it? What is your price?"
"What makes you think I'd deal with you at any price after what you pulled with the girl?"
"Self-interest, Miss Creed. The carrot instead of the stick."
"I'll make a counteroffer, Herr Sinnbrenner. We keep the scrolls and continue to conserve them properly, and extract their meaning using proper scientific procedures. You keep off our backs."
"And what is in this bargain for us?"
"Self-interest. So many assaults, kidnappings, and murders must cost you quite a bit.
Exceedingly so.
For a moment, Sinbrenner's self-control flickered. He stared at her with a hatred so undiluted it nearly dealt her a psychic blow. He turned away and walked toward the window.
The scrolls are just a tiny fraction of what lies at stake here. You have your lives to consider, Miss Creed. Think well on that.
I've thought of little else since your men murdered a dozen of my innocent friends in Alexandria, Sinbrenner. I don't trust you, Herr Director. You can take your carrot and stick it where the sun don't shine.
As you wish, my dear.
Sinbrenner faced squarely out toward the heart of the great city. His attitude seemed to be not that of one who owns everything he sees, but of one who has just created everything he sees. Anya could barely manage to catch control of herself before entering the elevator. Only her deep-held belief in restraining the use of violence prevented Anya from killing the greedy murderer right there. Mr. Thistledown turned away from the window to beam at her in the elevator. On the trip up, Anya had been so taken by her immediate surroundings that she hadn't even noticed that a mezzanine ran around the upper half of the ground floor. Two men had stood by the railing, overlooking the scene below. One was huge and bear-like, and wore a suit that looked as if it had been stamped out of cardboard. The other was as slim and slick as a ferret, in a long off-white jacket and trousers, with fine features and unruly white hair. Now, taking in the full scene as she stepped from the elevator, Anya spotted them and placed them immediately from Yaja's description of the chief kidnappers, Gus Marshall and Louis Sulin. She sent a cold smile to them and waved. They stared her down with icy eyes. Anya and Yaja's room at the hotel was directly next door to the one occupied by Tex. She was just about to swipe her electronic key through the lock when Tex's door flew open, and Yaja stormed out. Her face was red and streaked with tears. She convulsed in silent sobs which racked her towel-wrapped slender frame. Tex came out right behind her, dripping wet, wearing a fuzzy white hotel bathrobe. He stopped dead in his tracks when he saw Anya. For a moment, Anya doubted she could have ended up in any more of an uncomfortable situation than this. Unfortunately, if there was someone childish enough to create one, it was Yaja.
I'm not good enough for you, is that it? You don't want me, Tex? I hate you! I wish you were dead!
Suddenly, for a moment, everyone froze and held a tableau. Yaja went pale, as if she had been shocked by her own self-centeredness. She spun away, clutching at the towel. Anya just had time to swipe the lock of the room they shared and pulled the door open before the girl bolted face first into it. She vanished inside. Tex shook his head. He looked as if he wanted to cry. He ran a hand through his wet, spiky hair.
I didn't mean to hurt her feelings. She kind of caught me by surprise. Slipping into the shower with me the way she did. Oh, I'm afraid I didn't handle that any too gently.
She had it coming. Did she use that weird death to electronics trick of hers to burn out your room lock?
Huh? No. Those are designed to fail safe. They lock if they go out and won't open except from inside until they're reset. She managed to talk the maid into letting her in. In Turkish.